And yes.
Amin comes along with this Lutipolo. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, dude, this has nothing to do with Zoroastrians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he says, no, it doesn't. But it's so good.
Yeah. You didn't even know. He just brought it over.
Yeah, so we called it something different. We called it some caravansarai, something like that, you know, just to make it sound, you know, like it belongs there.
What's up, Just Foodies? Well, this isn't actually Just Food DXB.
That's right, guys and girls, welcome to a new food podcast hosted by me, Taryn, and my co-host Alex, where we take you on an unfiltered, unapologetic tour of the food culture here in Dubai. And sometimes we'll go beyond.
It's called Savage Appetites, and we're aiming to serve up a heaping plate of anything and everything food related. Plus, maybe we'll chat about the things we're not supposed to talk about.
So if you're in the mood to listen to us waffle on, or you're just a foodie at heart looking to add another podcast to your list, then join us.
And it's even available in a visual format too. Savage Appetite, unfiltered foodie conversations.
Yay, that's sick.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to Savage Appetite. Full of energy today. But, Alex, today is a special episode.
It is a very special episode. It is not just Taz and I in the studio today. We are joined by a very special guest, our first ever guest, the one, the only, Reza from Ravenous Xerxes.
Welcome, Reza. Welcome, Reza. First
salam,
time.
Salam.
This is fun, though. It's the first time we have a guest on our show.
Yeah, I'm excited. I wanted to bring in Reza because for people who don't know Reza, and we're going to take some time to get to know him shortly. But Reza is basically my mentor. He took me under his wing when we first started blogging three and a half years ago. He's taught me everything I know about food, so it was only right to have him join us in the show.
Papa Reza.
Well, Uncle Reza.
Uncle Reza. You are somewhat surrogate father to me. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
Well,
I'll take it as it.
Reza, right. Just so to let our audience know just a bit who you are. So, Iranian father?
Yes.
Iranian father, Anglo-Indian mother?
Yes.
Born in India?
Made in India.
Made in India. Made in India, love that. So, growing up for you, where did you grow up?
All sorts of places. I grew up between Tehran, London, and Dubai.
Wow. Okay, so that means such a colourful blend of cultures just from your ancestry, from your mother, father, and the locations you live in. I guess, was food such a prevalent part of your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Food really kicked in when I started traveling for work. I used to travel all over the place from the Far East to the US.
And, yeah. But not food related.
Not at all. My food adventure, if you like, really started maybe 10 years ago. But business took me all over the place, and I love food, so I...
Yeah,
he does love food. He does love food.
I think not arguably he loves food more than I do, and I didn't think that was possible.
But it was street food that excited me. And I'm not a country boy. I'm an urban boy. I'm a city boy. You eat on the street, you know?
In each
of the places you go to, and that was where the fun began.
So then how did it go from what you did in your day-to-day, and then you said like food became a bit more prevalent 10 years ago, to doing what you do now, which is not a full-time career doing the food reviews or is it going into that?
I was curious, how did you start? Because I knew you when you were running the Ravenous Xerxes page, and you was just like I thought it was like a little side hobby, but you've got a background, you all the way back to like Zomato days or something, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, it all started when my business at the time imploded.
Oh, right. Good start.
And I found I have a lot of time on my hands.
So. Yeah.
I love writing, I love food, and I just put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then, of course, somewhere along the line, my kids introduced me to Instagram. They were like,
yeah.
You know, why are you not on Instagram?
Yeah.
That internet will never take off.
but before that, young Pallavi, she introduced me to Zomato.
Look,
this incorporates everything. You want to go and review restaurants, you want to do this, blah, blah, blah.
And Zomato, but Zomato back in the day was the kind of...
was totally different to what it is now.
Yeah.
It was like Yelp.
It
was like a guide, a reference, but a reviewer-based guide.
Yeah.
So, you know, a restaurant would get ratings based on us.
We
would rate it.
I remember, because like, I came here like 12, 13 years ago now, and Zomato was the place you'd go to check, okay, if this restaurant's any good, and you see the Zomato rating.
Yeah.
Well, so this was like before TripAdvisor.
Well, No.
TripAdvisor was there before. It was just more regional version of TripAdvisor.
I just felt like, I think it was a bit more of a go-to place to just check. And you just always, if you search for a restaurant, Zomato's listing would come up of that.
Right,
and it just became just a, I just thought it was like a UAE thing.
Yeah.
I don't know actually it's where Zomato comes up.
India.
It's a massive India app. And then that's why, and then I think, did Talabat buy Zomato?
Yeah.
There we go. That's
they buy everything. Yeah. And they just take over the world.
Yeah.
But it worked two ways. So you'd, as a reviewer, you would review a restaurant, but you also get a rating as a reviewer.
So who would do that? It's just like the public review you or the restaurant?
No. So they had a system where it depended on the number of restaurants that you review.
Mm.
In each area, okay, you become an expert in that area, and then again, it was a numbers game, really.
Not
quality that much, but the number just of volume, restaurants.
So it's a bit more credible.
And then you had a top 10, and of course, people would refer to the top 10, and they would use.
Probably, so there was like a top 10 list of the reviewers.
Of the top 10 reviewers.
Wasn't it funny? You said the other day you bumped into one of your old competitors.
Yeah,
there.
And you never knew who he was.
Yeah, but how many years ago was it?
It was from maybe 10 years ago. And and we had been competing with each other for the number one spot for years.
Yeah.
And we were like, it was like ping pong.
Yeah.
You know, literally I was number one this week and then he would be number one. And then
did you know who you were, or was it just your alias?
Just your profile. Yeah,
just
your
alias. Xerxes, I knew him as NNJ. And
how did you know?
And we met at this, at the crossing Mint Leaf of London collaboration.
That was Indian restaurant in was it down Business Bay downtown area? Was it
Hotel Street?
Hotel.
Yeah, see,
the
crossing is in.
Is that still there?
The H, of course.
Yeah. Did you both introduce yourself as the number one blogger?
We were introduced.
I'm the number one. No, I'm the number one.
Last find my meme.
Very, very cleverly, they sat us opposite each other, and then
they knew.
They knew.
Oh, I love that.
It was really cool.
It's going to kick off, or they're going to be nice.
Look, I have a lot of respect for the guy.
Yeah.
The amount of knowledge. This guy, I think he was born here. He grew up here.
And does he still do it?
Like Rohit.
Yeah.
Rohit and Pallavi. Hmm?
Does he still do it?
No. He had to grow up.
Oh, good. Well, then your name, your alias then, it was Ravenous Xerxes. Xerxes being the Persian ruler.
Yeah.
How did that name come about then?
You know, so when I started, I wanted to remain anonymous. I didn't want anyone to know who I am.
Look how times have changed.
Yeah. Good looking man, though.
So the reason for that was I didn't want restaurants to know they're being reviewed. You know, I'd be able to go there, have a meal, pay for it, come out, and then it gives them a good or bad rating.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
No idea. No, it's about how your name came about.
So I wanted something Iranian.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to give it away that I am Iranian.
Yeah.
And Xerxes, no Iranians use the word Xerxes. I mean, the Persian word for Xerxes is Hashayar.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
No,
I mean, they're both pretty hard.
It's a very Parsi name. So
okay.
I said, okay, this is perfect for me.
Yeah.
So it's Persian.
So just a bit more anonymous.
Yeah.
And they stuck.
Yeah.
I remember you were saying before that it's just a bit of a nightmare, though, because no one can actually spell it when they write it.
No, they can spell it. They can't pronounce it. They read it.
Ravenous X.
Ravenous X.
No, that's cool. Well, look, we have a welcome tradition on our show, even though you are the first guest. So this we were starting.
You're saying a tradition that we will continue forward.
Where we have 10 quick fire questions just to get to know the host. The man behind the Instagram. So I'm going to run through these 10 questions, then you can give me answers. You can be quick if you want, but you can be...
By the way, you, the guest, you mean? You're the guest,
yeah.
I'm the host, yeah. Yes. Today, yeah. Just so you guys know. Right, so, sweet or savoury?
Savoury, for sure.
Breakfast or dinner?
Breakfast.
Oh. One dish for the rest of your life.
Could be there. You have to.
No such thing. I mean, how do you have one dish for the rest of your life?
That's the.
Mine was ceviche.
Yours was ceviche?
Yeah,
ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
For the rest of your life?
Yeah. It's perfect. Have you ever had a bowl of ceviche? Like, imagine Penelope's. You could eat that every single day for the rest of your life. No?
I don't know. I'll let me come back to that.
Come back to it. A food influencer that you resonate the most with, or you, I would say your favorite from food influencer. Maybe that's probably giving a bit too much credibility, but what you enjoy their content the most.
Yeah, not me.
No, you can't.
I was just going to say you.
No, apart from me.
Apart from just for DXB, yeah, we'll go follow him.
An influencer,
Influencer or blogger that you, your favorite, that you respect the most.
But he's no longer with us, no?
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about.
Mm.
Mr. Bourdain?
Yeah.
Mr. Bourdain.
The legend.
I don't know. Do you eat pizza? Because this is an ideal pizza topping question. What would be your ideal pizza topping?
Not pineapple.
I like that.
I don't know. Not definitely not pineapple.
Fair enough. You don't want to check my pizza order. Right. So, current favorite restaurant in Dubai? Current.
Maison Matisse.
Maison Matisse?
Really?
Yes. In Arabian Ranches?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I love that restaurant.
Why? Of all the places, how come?
It's home.
Oh, yeah.
It's home. The food's not particularly good.
Yeah.
Vin, sorry. but it's home. I don't know. You guys are young, but there was a sitcom, a US sitcom called Cheers.
Yeah, Cheers.
So it's one of those places where everybody knows
the name. I love Maison Matisse, to be fair.
It is amazing. One of the best places in the world.
Yeah.
It's my favorite restaurant. Not in Dubai, in the world.
Wow. Fair play, Maison Matisse. Big shout out.
I just feel at home there.
How often are you there? Every week?
Oh, yeah.
Several times.
You walk in there and several it's like, times. Mr. Rizzo, several everyone's times. Giving him hugs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, love it.
Listen, while we're on this, I'll bring up the date thing now. So at Maison, just to give you an idea of how amazing a place it is. So I fast during Ramadan.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these people who's like, oh my God, intolerant of people who don't fast.
And
I have my little group of friends who, you know, I go and hang out with, even though I'm fasting, they sit and they have their drinks. And so we were all there for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, just gone.
And nobody, so they know me, they know I fast. Nobody asked me if I want a drink or anything.
Yeah.
I sat down at the table and everybody was having a drink. And at iftar time, without me asking, a little plate of dates was put in front of me. A glass of water.
That was so good.
It was amazing.
That's so nice.
And I broke my fast sitting with a bunch of...
Well, I was just drinking Guinness. Constant drinkers around you. No, I love that.
That shows how far Dubai has come.
I mean, the head chef was at our table. And so 2 minutes later, he brought me a bowl of soup, put it there.
Oh, I love perfect. That. Yeah, respectful.
That's
okay, bizarre. Going from your favorite place on planet Earth to your favorite chef at the moment. Not necessarily all time, just favorite chef at the moment.
Impossible.
Yeah,
that's impossible. You know, we are so blessed in Dubai. We have such amazing talent here. You have the fufu chefs.
The fufu chefs. Dark is that?
Gregoire,
Himanshu. I'm gonna put Orfali up there as well. Yeah. Of course, they're amazing. You know, but my heroes are the women.
Yeah,
they have to be. You know, it's so interesting. I was asked the other day, "What's your favorite?" Levantine restaurant.
Mm.
Immediately, I was like, Bait Marion's.
Yeah.
But I had to include a couple. So I said, M. Sharif is there too. Three Baiva's there. Mm. But that's just in Dubai. In Abu Dhabi, you have not quite Levantine, but Khaliji restaurant is Villa Mama's.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, all of them are run by women.
Right.
All the chefs behind these restaurants are women.
Yeah. Coincidentally, when you were saying it, or was just like you?
No, I was just, coincidentally.
I think traditionally, in those cultures, as I understand, it was the women that used to do the cooking for the family. So maybe that's where
restaurants. Not in restaurants. This is the interesting. This is the interesting. You go back 15, 20 years, and the culinary scene in Dubai was dominated by men.
Yeah.
This is incredible what's happening. Okay, and these are just 11 restaurants. How can you say this without mentioning Penelope?
Fusion.
How can you say it without mentioning Shah of Lila's?
And
there's so many. I think if I have to choose, it will definitely be the.
No, I like it. I like that.
You know,
Going then. Okay, going into your dream dinner guest could be alive, not with us today. Who would be your dream dinner guest if you had to sit down at a table right now? You could pick anyone in the world, past or present. Who would it be?
My mom.
Oh, beautiful answer. Beautiful answer.
I feel really bad saying mine was Margot Robbie now. I've got a long way to come.
love it. Oh, if me and Alex were to join you at your house for dinner, what would be one of the dishes you'd make us?
I would make
it. You would make it.
Or would have made for us.
No, or resident cook. Yeah. What would be your dish you'd cook?
Well, I don't think you'd want me to cook.
You
come to my house, you'd get amazing Iranian food, but yeah. Not if I'm cooking.
Yeah. Okay,
not
fair.
If I'm cooking. If you would allow me, I would probably serve you something meat dish.
Meat,
maybe a steak.
Grilled.
Something,
oh, okay.
Yeah, something on my
How do you like steak?
How do I like it cooked?
Yeah.
Medium rare.
Medium rare, of course.
I went over to Reza's house. This is like when I first got to know him. He's like, please come over. We'll have dinner with my family. And like, yeah. I've had a few, like, my family's from Cyprus. So we have big, like, family meals.
Yeah.
I go over there and it's like, oh, one of the dishes arrives. Like, oh, this looks incredible. Can't wait a second. They're like, oh no, that's just the start.
Yeah,
and
then it's one
like,
of many.
Another one. And it just keeps going and going. I was like, ah! And it's then literally had this food. Like, obviously, I tried a lot of kebabs around, like, the Iranian restaurants that Reza took me to. Mm. But then these were, like, stews and salads. And then, obviously, there was meat and kebabs. And I was, like, completely...
All from, a, like, an Iranian perspective.
Oh, yeah.
The food.
So good. Yeah. So good.
Like, none of which I make.
Fair.
Yeah, that was a really good meal. Can't remember much about after that, but
love it. Is there a restaurant in Dubai that you haven't visited yet, but you're eager to try?
Many.
Yeah?
Many. I mean, you know, by the time this podcast is over, probably three restaurants.
Go on.
You say that, though. About, like, I'm at this stage now where I've kind of tried every restaurant that I want to try. I've probably only got maybe two or three that are on my list that I feel like I need to. Well, I haven't been to Eugene.
Oof.
Haven't been to Rare.
Which Rare?
Haven't been to either. And there was one more that recently opened.
Explain what Eugene and Rare is.
I don't know. Like, Eugene, you were just raving about it. It was the one in Kempinski by Racco's Group. What is it? Is it French bistro?
Yeah, it's a French, I wouldn't call it a bistro. It's more like a little a brasserie.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's an amazing little restaurant. It's one I go to very regularly. It's very close to my house.
Mm.
And I love it. It's fantastic. What
do you order when you go?
I love the bavette.
The bavette.
Bavette. I just love the
bavette. What's a bavette?
It's a steak.
Oh, okay.
It's a steak, yeah. It's perfectly done.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's very well done, yeah. And I've had it several times and very consistent.
Yeah.
Rare's just opened in Dubai Hills?
No. It's in, I think, in City Walk. I haven't been.
Oh, in City Walk. Yeah.
It was Dubai Hills, I don't know.
This is Sahil's. Sahil's Rare, right?
I think so, yeah.
The steakhouse, yeah.
Yeah, because they used to have the food truck under the bridge, and now, thankfully, they've got a place with air conditioning in City Walk.
No,
still no air conditioning.
No, hold on. What? Hold on. They're two different. They're two different rares.
Oh,
all right. So, and this is a good point. So there is this amazing little food truck under a bridge in Umm Sikkim or Jumeirah, whatever. Yeah. It is one of those places you must go to.
Yeah.
All right. I've been there three times. You've met Brando, right?
Yeah, I've met Brando. Yeah.
Brando worked on the menu with these boys.
Who's Brando?
71 Steak and Grill.
Legit.
They have a amazing little Ugandan chef. And these African boys, I mean, they know how to cook meat.
Jeez.
The steak.
Yeah.
The steak they serve there, I have not had in anything but the really top end restaurants.
Okay, so just the quality meat with salt and pepper, no seasoning else.
Yeah. No. There is a very specific seasoning.
Okay, fine.
Right. Coffee.
Oh, interesting.
Excellent. There's some Colombian thing that Brando has introduced. It's excellent.
Wow.
But this is a food truck. This is steakhouse.
The burger. I should just post about this. The burger is amazing. And you need to try the burger. I mean, you're the burger king of Dubai.
Well, you're going to twist my arm. He's doing it again.
so this rare should not be confused with Sahil's Rare. All right.
So it's not the same.
You know, CPM? That was on the Point, Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. They closed when the Point closed down.
Yeah.
CPM closed down.
We've spoken about that.
And they reinvented themselves. They came back as Rare.
Mm. Right. Okay.
So I think the meat truck is Rare.eats. And this is Rare. Just
okay.
Rare.
So they're not affiliated by any. Just
not
like
at all.
That's a bit sneaky, though.
Well, it's their names.
Yeah. I know you needed to rebrand, but there's already a Rare. And it's both within the same.
I mean,
like
yeah.
the cuisine side. That's,
I don't want to get involved in here because yeah. I like both these guys. Yeah,
I think the only way to do it, gladiator style fight off. I've got money on Brando. He's a big old boy.
Rare versus rare.
Yeah, but don't ever discount Sahil. And
his, no. Is he also a big old boy?
He's boys got
to show down. It'll be interesting because Rare City Walk is licensed, so you can go there, have a lovely steak and have okay. wine. And,
oh, I love it.
Sorry, Rand.
And they've just launched now.
Yeah?
Just launched. Well, you heard of it. Go down there. Obviously, you have tried probably every type of restaurant what serves Iranian kebabs. What restaurant to you does the best Iranian kebabs? I know this is going to be a bit of a contentious question, but for our listeners, if they were to maybe I'll rephrase it. If you were to tell our listeners, okay, if you want to try authentic Iranian kebabs, please visit this restaurant. Even though there are many around in Dubai, and we'll speak about these, but if you had to just introduce someone to Iranian kebabs, where would you tell them?
I literally know what he's going to say.
He's going to switch it up. Switch it up, Reza.
I'm going to start.
You answer, I'll write down what I think you're going to say, and then we're going to go.
You start the other way around. Okay, go.
You go first, and I'll write down what I think you're going to say.
Write it down.
I will.
I'm going to go the other way around.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've had a number. I don't think in the past 10, 15 years, we've had so many Iranian restaurants open as we have in the past 12 months.
Oh, okay. That's interesting to know.
And sadly to say,
okay,
they've all been crap.
Yeah.
I say crap.
You can say
whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right? They've been crap.
Yeah.
Crap is not a good word. They've not met expectations.
Yeah.
Okay? Except for one.
Oh,
and it's a new restaurant that's open maybe 3 months now. It's called Iranish.
Oh, nice!
And it's one of the places I 100% recommend. It's got a very concise menu.
Yeah,
it's got two amazing. The owner is also a chef. He has several restaurants from London to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, okay.
And he's brought on board a mustache twirling chef from Mashhad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A meat master, the guy who understands meat. He does amazing braised lamb's neck and shank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
I think I know where it's going.
His kebabs are very good too. Not all of them. Kubide is really good. Chenje also very good. And he does something that Alex posted about recently called Luti Polo. It is the new sensation in Dubai, and I recommend everybody goes and tries it.
Yeah. Can you, if you haven't listened to the last episode, when we actually talk about Luti Polo, could you explain what Luti Polo is?
I'm sorry to do this. So for everyone, it's something different, okay? I'll tell you, the reason I hooked up with this the way I did was because it gives me goose pimples every time I talk about it. Reminds me of my childhood.
Wow.
So we would typically over the weekend in Iran, we would order, either go out or we would order in. And as Iranians usually do, we order way too much food. So the leftover food would be in a pot. And my dad, my late father, he would come and would break all the kebab up. Okay. It's mash up all the tomatoes. He'd add in a lot of sumac and the egg yolk.
Yeah.
Oh, yolks. Okay. Yeah.
And he, just to make it theatrical for us, you just take it and shake it up like this, you know?
Right. So you put it all in like a little bowl and then just.
That's basically Luti Polo,
you know?
Iranians call it different things. They call it Qati Polo. They call it Luti Polo. Qati means mixed up. Like, basically a hodgepodge of everything.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But then if it's left over, do you then reheat it all again or is it served cold?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
fine.
Yes. And this is the way we do it.
Yeah.
Amin of Iranish, we did a supper club with The Crossing.
Yeah.
All right. And there's going to be a part two for this, so pay attention. it's the story of the Parsis.
Okay.
All right. The Parsis that migrated from Iran to India.
Yeah.
And so Amin, representing Iran, Jitin Joshi, representing India, we curated a menu which had Iranian, but specifically Zoroastrian.
Okay.
And Indian, specifically Parsi, dishes on this menu.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
All right. And we did this over 3 days, and it was a great success. Okay. So this was at the crossing. Now, the same after Ramadan will be done at Iranish. Okay.
Oh, man.
And
yes.
Amin comes along with this luti pulao. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, dude, this has nothing to do with Zoroastrians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he says, no, it doesn't. But it's so good.
Yeah. You didn't even know. He just brought it over.
Yeah, so we called it something different. We called it some caravansarai, something like that, you know, just to make it sound, you know, like it belongs there. But that's what it was. It was luti pulao. After the supper club, I said, dude, you have to put this on your menu.
Yeah.
And he has it. I think it's become one of the most popular, thanks to you.
Yeah.
It's become one of the most popular dishes right now. So it's something everybody needs to go and try.
Yeah.
So Iranish is up there.
Yeah.
I will always recommend you go to Sofre.
Yeah.
All Sofre. Because Sofre is tiny, but it's
beautiful.
Gem. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Michelin, for God's sake.
He's telling you now.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
On the other end, you've got Khoury sitting on the border of Dubai and Sharjah and Mamzar.
Yeah.
Best kubide outside Iran.
Wow. That's a big
kubide. We're not taking you there yet.
No.
Hands down, Khoury, you have to go. Everyone,
I think you spoke about
it's
this.
It's insane.
And it's not just these guys just keep getting better. It's not just the kubide. They've got the excellent limui. It's the one with the
sour one.
The sour one with dried lime. It's excellent.
Wow.
Their belia mahi is excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, this is their what's it called?
Dizi.
Oh my God. Fantastic. And of course, their sangyak is super.
Yeah.
So Khoury is definitely one of the restaurants you should try. But if I have to choose one.
Drum roll, please.
One.
Camera zoom in.
It's the best all-rounder. It's consistent. Sadly, I was having a debate on my Emirati group, not mine, but an Emirati group I'm part of.
Right.
And a lot of the Emirati members were not in agreement with me, but it's Rivas.
Yeah.
Rivas. Where's Rivas?
At the mall, okay. Jumeirah.
Yeah.
It's, in my mind, consistently the best Iranian restaurant. It has it's the food of the north of Iran. Their head chef is from the north. He's from a city called Rasht.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The food is superb.
Wow.
The food is superb.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend any one of these four that I've mentioned. And of course, I cannot end this without mentioning Ustadi.
Ustadi, yeah.
Please never discount Ustadi. Ustadi's been here from the... Stop it. Ustadi's been here for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of people associate, you know, it's synonymous with Iranian food.
Yeah, of course.
But Ustadi and Khoury are very much food of the south of Iran.
Okay.
Where Sofre, Iranish, and Rivas, food of the north.
So that's quite interesting to know. So what do you say is probably the difference between the north of Iran in terms of the food to the southern part? What are the differences? What makes it a northern Iranian dish compared to a southern Iranian dish?
Really?
Yeah, we don't know.
How much time do you have?
You've got 30 seconds. Yeah,
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Just for our listeners to know. I know.
Difference is huge. Huh?
Yeah.
Although, both have a lot of seafood.
Okay.
Because both have, I mean, you have the I was going to say, the Gulf, let's be politically correct.
Yeah.
The Gulf.
Yeah.
And then you have the Caspian Sea. So both are big meat eaters.
Yeah.
Fish eaters.
Yeah.
Both love sour rather than sweet.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. But they use different ingredients to achieve the same. In the south, they'll use dried lime.
Yeah.
You know, they'll use dried lime. Yep. They'll use whey.
Yes.
Okay. That'll give it tartness.
Yeah.
They use whey to tenderize as well.
Mm.
So you're musty.
Yeah.
That's where it comes. I mean, that's how it's made. In the north, they will use pomegranate molasses and lime.
You know,
these are the two. Kebab
Torsh would be north, is northern?
Yeah, it's northern.
100% and then Masti northern. Would be and more south.
So. In my mind, the best Rivas does, the best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you have a lot of forestry up in the north.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not just pomegranates, it's plums, it's apricots, it's dried
That leans itself to be a bit more sweeter then.
get more tart. Like
treated. You have sweet, you have sweet dishes as well, but mainly tart. It's
tart.
But if you have a kebab torsh, it's with torsh, with molasses.
Torsh means, it's, means sour.
Yeah, torsh. It's really sour kebab. It's
okay, like,
but it's nice.
Nice.
I said depends on what type of kebab: sofre, jujube boneless, rivas, torsh, and barg and curry for. Tikka Lamoni.
Well, look done. At that.
No Iranish, huh?
No Iranish, no. I didn't
know Iranish.
That was the number one. That's a testament because those three have been the solid go-tos since the start. So Iranish, that's how good it is.
Listen, before you guys move on to any other topic, tomorrow is the Iranian New Year.
They mentioned,
The Persian New Year is celebrated not just in Iran,
but
throughout regions in Central Asia, all the way to Afghanistan, Kurdistan, they all celebrate it, okay? And it's all celebrated the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are very specific dishes that are eaten on the Iranian New Year.
Okay, yeah.
And almost all Iranian restaurants will be serving those.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, today's the 19th, so tomorrow's the 20th.
Yeah. Usually it's the 21st because of, you know, it's the end of the winter equinox.
Of
the spring equinox.
Oh, so is it?
Correct, New Year, right?
Yeah.
New Year should be in the
spring. Yeah, it makes sense, right? Makes sense, yeah. After the dog.
Middle of winter, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's actually true, yeah.
I strongly recommend you, over the next 13 days, a lot of Iranian restaurants in Dubai, everywhere in the world, will have special dishes. Okay. I'm posting something this today and later in the afternoon.
Okay, great. So then people can go follow Ramazerxes.
But by the time this is aired.
By the time this airs, it's been next week. So it's only been 7 days. So there should be still another couple of weeks, a week or so, of celebrations.
Are you going to put it in your post?
I'm just going to put like 3-4 must-try dishes. And everybody's doing it.
Good.
Oh, everybody's. Wow. Okay, good. Well, look, just from the short conversation we had here today, understanding the master, from what I know, of Iranian cuisine, understanding Iranian cuisine. I'm not saying you're a chef. I think you have great knowledge of Iranian cuisine. I think that's hands down.
I am Iranian.
Exactly. So with that vast knowledge, and as you mentioned, growing up traveling around the world, are there any kind of areas in the world where you find the cuisine quite exciting, or the ones what you probably miss the most or crave the most from your journeys?
Absolutely. Look, I'm Iranian for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm a Dubai boy.
Yeah.
And
Spoiled choice.
And Dubai, there's nothing like Dubai.
Yeah.
Honestly, I love what's going on here.
Yeah.
I think not enough credit is given to this explosion of this culinary explosion here.
Yeah.
But we have everything from, you know, down and dirty in Data to the fufu on the palm.
Yeah.
You
know,
you've got it all. It's amazing.
True.
But over the past, I travel a lot to the Far East.
Yeah.
And I do Tokyo maybe 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
But it was Singapore.
Was it?
It was Singapore last year.
I know Singapore has it.
Blew like, my mind.
It has that melting pot of cuisines like Dubai would.
Blew my mind, yeah.
Do you think it's got the best street food scene, like, potentially in the world? Because, like, everyone I speak to, they said, like, you go to the hawker markets, like,
Definitely one of the best.
Really?
Definitely one of the
best. We have to go.
They have such a fusion of influence.
I think August we're looking at going to Malaysia and then going from Malaysia to Singapore.
Yeah. You could actually drive.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking about doing.
I have a lot of influence from Indian food as well. I think because obviously they're... It's like Dubai because it's kind of a new city.
Very similar. So you have the Chinese immigrants that went there.
Yeah, exactly.
The Indians as well and from all over.
This is what my issue was with when we were talking about Michelin and 50 Best. It's like I love how in Singapore those places get recognized. Like you go to the hawker markets and you can have a little like Hainanese chicken place that has a Michelin star or something like that. And I'm like, you come to Dubai, there's a really good street food scene. But yeah, none of them are getting recognized on these lists. That was what my issue was.
Yeah.
You know, whilst I've been so excited about the fact that we now have Michelin here.
Yeah.
It's been marred by a little bit of disappointment with how restricted it is.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I don't want to get into that. But my hope is that it will eventually become like Singapore.
Yeah, okay.
I cannot think of a single place where you have such amazing representation as in Singapore. You go into any hawker center and just click on the Michelin guide and you're all over. This is listed. This is noodle.
Yeah.
Soup noodle.
Yeah.
Michelin star restaurant. I actually went in a single day to 3, 2, 1 Michelin star restaurants.
Wow.
Three in one day.
Yeah.
And the third was one Michelin in a hawker center. This is how amazing it is.
Yeah. Do you think Dubai is going to get that way? Because like from an outside perspective, when we look at like New York or you look at like London, and Rick was over in Germany, he was in Frankfurt,
Tokyo.
They've got a huge street food scene. And like in terms of making the place a global food hub, I think you have to appeal to the masses, and the masses are going to be dining at casual street food dining spots. And you look at Singapore, they've pulled it off right. Like everyone knows the hawker markets for the quality of food there. And yet Dubai doesn't have a street food scene, in my opinion. Like, I think you could probably say maybe Deira or Satwa, but it is obviously very Indian, Pakistani influence.
Yeah.
But I know, but I wouldn't say that that's representative of all the cuisines that are available in Dubai. I think it's probably just two that are highlighted.
Yeah, but I think it's...
This
is part of Dubai.
Yeah, true, true.
Eventually, the tourism board is going to allow Michelin and the guides to go in and do things without...
any kind of influence.
Yeah, any kind of influence. Okay.
That's when it's going to get real.
So do they at the moment, is it just guided towards these are some pocket of...
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't know that, but I have to assume that that's the case.
Fair. Okay?
Because look at the majority of the Michelin star restaurants are all in hotels.
Yeah, 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 of course.
I think
I don't think any of us should be very surprised if one Zabil suddenly pops up with 20 stars in the next 2 years, you know?
I mean, it's annoying because they give stars, like, imagine like a restaurant like Dinner by Heston. Obviously, well worth it. But like, if people want to eat food by Heston Blumenthal, they could just go to London. Go to one of his old restaurants that's been there for years. If you're going to put Dubai on a stage as a global food hub, why would you recognize restaurants that are available everywhere else in the world, you know?
I get what you're saying, yeah. From chefs from around the world, why is there not a focus on people?
Yeah, exactly. Like, give stars to local
homegrown brands.
Yeah, homegrown brands.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. I think the homegrown restaurants should. Well, yeah. You know, like in Singapore, what I heard was the brief that was given to Michelin was, listen, we're not going to interfere, but we would like you to focus on the hawker centers.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so they've still got their influence as well. Because I just thought Michelin came to that conclusion on their own.
But they did. No, but the hawker centers is where the masses go and eat.
Yeah.
The real people eat.
Yeah.
Not the, so do the people, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so you have all your 2 and 3 Michelin star restaurants in Singapore. Of course you do. But get them listed in the guide at least.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Why are restaurants like Ustadi? Why are restaurants like Ravi's? Like, you know, all these icons that we have here. Why are they not even listed?
Especially
under the bibs. Like, I feel like the bib, you can kind of give it to anyone that's worth recognition. They gave it to Bay Mariam last year. Mm. Like, prime example, if you're coming to Dubai, you want to go somewhere that you know you can hands down go and have a great meal.
Yeah.
Those, like, I think that's where the bib should go to, and it should go to the homegrown brands.
There are dozens.
There's endless.
Issue with these lists is, like, you look at, like, best 50 restaurants, LPM and Zuma. We can go anywhere else in the world to have that food. Why? Yeah. But, you know, if we want
to... Like, does that then discredit that chef who's obviously put effort into that? Does it mean, like, oh, well, I'm not allowed to get it because...
The thing is, I don't know. I see, like, a lot of these chefs, they've already been recognised for the restaurants that they've held in other parts of the world. Mm. Like, if you recognise their Dubai branch, it probably doesn't even mean that much to them, I don't imagine.
Well, yeah.
I can't imagine like, the chef of, like, Zuma or LPM, like, oh, you've been recognised in Dubai. They're like, oh, great, stick it on the cabinet, you know?
Yeah.
Stick on the shelf.
Don't say that.
No?
I did add Heston here. The star that it got, it means a lot to Tom Allen. I mean,
okay,
I
good, that. Good.
You know, you have to give them more credit. Look, he's...
Exactly.
You come in and you're working under the shadow of Heston.
True.
You know, yet he's been able to, within the first year, he's been able to carve out a name for himself.
Oh,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like...
You have to...
These chefs are still like... That's like your... It's like winning the World Cup with Brazil. It's like, why is it like... I mean, Chile, they can do it, but it's just like Brazil have been known to win the World Cup all the time because there's such an infrastructure in the game. But I think it's just that point. What Reza's saying is like, we can't discredit the chefs who are behind that, who can bring that level. I think it's almost a little bit more pressure because it's like you're kind of...
You're absolutely right.
Kind of expected.
You know, Tom at Heston's, you've got Jose at Tasca,
yeah.
Dude, you need... You know, it's not.
It's hard. Yeah, exactly. It's not easy to do this. This game is hard. What are the? I don't know what the difference is, though. I think we tried to talk about this last time as well between a Michelin and 50's World's Best.
in terms of the, like, you know, you get on the list of the 50 world's best, or, you know, this restaurant's getting Michelin. I don't know what the difference
is. We're trying to figure out the criteria.
What's the criteria?
I think someone actually messaged me trying to give, like, some insights. But
I don't know if you have any insight into, like, what's the difference between how they maybe judge and award those things.
I'm definitely not the right person to ask.
Fair enough.
I had an anonymous tip-off. What do they say?
The reason I'm saying is I'm very opinionated about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get dragged into that again.
Fair enough. Again?
I'm very much a Michelin person. I will always have the Michelin guide.
Okay, so your Michelin over 50 is best.
Everyone's different. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying 50 best is bad. I'm just saying.
This guy was like, all girl.
All girl. Yeah. Anonymous.
Three fills. Most people haven't been. Not sure how it gets on the list. Kanoya should be on the list. It's on
what
the
list?
50's best.
Is about 50
best.
Yes,
50's the best.
Kanoya should be on the list. It's on there because
it is on the list.
Many of the judges know Neil well.
Yeah.
Yes to 11 Woodfire, although consistency needs some work. Oceano. You will never know if Gregoire is there or not. I think that was my point. I said, like, the chefs have to be there.
Mm.
What does that mean?
No, because I said when the chef isn't there, like, my issue with Woodfire is, like, when you go there and Akmal is there, I always seem that the food is much better, but I rarely see him at the restaurant anymore. And it kind of, like, removes from the experience.
But, well, hold on. Gregoire is at Oceano most times.
Okay, yeah.
And his sous chef, Orlean, is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... Gregoire in particular, he's done a very good job in training up his team, and
he's appointed
a sous chef, which is almost his equal. You know,
exactly.
I know this boy in a couple of years will be somewhere else, and he'll be earning his own stars.
How do you get into these circles of friendships with all these wonderful chefs? It's just like just
going to their restaurants 10 times.
This guy keeps supplying the electricity here. This is,
you just keep going to the restaurants, you know, and you write to the chefs and you get to know them, and that's it. It's as simple as that. You know, look, you know, people think that these Michelin star chefs are unapproachable. They're not. Mm. A lot of them are really wonderful people.
Yeah.
I mean, Gregoire being one of them.
Yeah. You know?
Orfali, same. Himanshu is the most humble person in the world. A lot of them. You just, when you're there, you ask to see the chef, you talk to him 2 minutes, you know, you guys exchange Instagram. Just
nice.
That's it. It's as simple as that. There's no secret to it.
Good to know.
That's what you got to do now. Or we got to do now.
I've just got to start going to these restaurants and stop that.
Yeah. We'll go treat ourselves.
Yeah.
On the Savage Appetites card. Okay, Mike.
I'll take that.
Well, look, Reza, look, we have a closing tradition here on the podcast called the Munchies Menu. So this is a fictitious restaurant that me and Alex have created in this fictitious world where anytime we have a guest, we're going to ask them, they can put one menu item on this mythical menu. It could be a starter, main, dessert, could be a drink, could be all four if you wish. And what we'd love to do is eventually over the seasons, we'll get this kind of wonderful menu of just all the guests, chefs, influencers, however you want to define yourself, of all the kind of wonderful dishes. It could be your dish that your grandmother made. It could be a dish you had overseas. It could be a dish you had here in Dubai. But what would you put on this mythical menu?
Lutipolo.
Lutipolo.
Yes.
It's one of those dishes that's really just
it, yeah?
Yeah.
Your father's Lutipolo.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then what we can do is we can open a restaurant with everyone's favorite dish and know it's going to be super successful.
Yeah. Well, we know everyone will review it well because...
It's everyone's favorite dish.
Exactly. Reza, look, it's been wonderful to have you on. And
Thank you.
You are a world of knowledge, especially in the Iranian cuisine. I'd highly recommend everyone to go follow your Instagram, RavenousXerxes, for unapologetic, no-nonsense actual reviews. You're not paid to do any reviews. You give your honest opinion, which is why... I respect you in terms of how you portray your kind of journalism on food culture.
So, to mirror that, I think that's what separates you from myself and a lot of other people in the industry. It's like,
especially this guy.
It's like you pay for your own food and you do not let anything influence your opinion of a place, and you will say if a place is bad. So if you do want honest reviews, unbiased, as much as they can be, RavenousXerxes on Instagram.
Hey there.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ravi.
See you next episode, everyone.
Thanks so much. Catch you later.
Savage Appetites.